Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become a better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm Delia Farquharson, and do remember that you can call us live on 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. So, the voice ended last night, and we have a winner. So, Chasan Chin is our new voice, I guess is what to call her. But before we get into our fascinating topic for this evening, let me introduce my fabulous guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. So, hi, Raymond. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Hello.
Were you caught up in the fever of the voice?
I think yesterday, well, when was it? Yesterday, so it was Monday, when I guess you had to vote by, or no, Tuesday, when you had to vote by a certain time, and folks were sending out messages to make sure you vote and support her. So I did. I voted as many times as I could, and then, or when I couldn't anymore, I stopped. I was hopeful that she would win. I'm glad that she did. Part of me, though, I must admit, was a little surprised. I was somewhat guarded in my expectation in terms of this young 16-year-old would have, again, America is still 300 plus million of a population that probably would not be, that would be more inclined to support a 16-year-old American girl.
Okay, well, but Tisan won.
Yeah, I think I tried my best to think as objective as I can that, you know, she was the best talent.
She was indeed the most talented. Mm-hmm. And her rendition of Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing was just fabulous.
I agree.
Whitney would have been inspired.
Yeah.
So our topic this evening, Raymond, deals with a serious topic. You know, it deals with a serious issue. And that's the issue of traumatic brain injury, physical injury to the brain caused by a traumatic injury like sports injury. And, you know, how does it relate to the fact that, you know, this is a show about goals and dreams and becoming your best self. And so many of our young people, our young boys and girls, play sports. And, you know, so many of them, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? They say, NFL player, or basketball star, or baseball player. It's, you know, a lot of, especially boys, want to be sports stars when they grow up.
Right.
But that field right now is really, it's become alarming, the impact of traumatic brain injury, concussions that happen, and I didn't realize how significant it was in baseball until recently, but that happens to our athletes. And then the repercussions of that.
Right.
So it's really frightening. And, it, you know, so many of our students, even as young student athletes, get injured.
Right, right.
So, you know, what do you think about this?
I think for years, you know, the whole idea of concussion and there were smatterings of folks who we hear about, you know, football players especially who are having temper tantrums, and they'll talk about, you know, maybe it's a steroid rage or whatever it might be. But over the last couple of years, it's been taken a little bit more seriously where they've started studying it and realizing that more and more NFL players have committed suicide. And those that donated their brain to science, it has proven that they did suffer from, you know, traumatic brain injury. and, you know, one of the suspected cause of their suicide and their rage and their behavior. And now, as Delia said, you know, baseball is the latest one to report someone committing suicide, you know, and having suffered traumatic brain injury. It is very, listen, sports is a very lucrative, you know, it's very lucrative in America for the television industry, the clothing, the memorabilia, you know, and therefore there are billions and billions of dollars invested in sports. And therefore, a young lady or a young man looking at sports as their, and using their talent to play football or play basketball, basketball is not, has not been reported yet, but whatever sport, especially contact sports, you know, the footballs of the world, baseball, it becomes now in the mindset of parents of thinking, how do I allow my child to play a sport, to fall in love with a sport, to participate in a sport, to actually have them dream or aspire to, you know, to using this sport as a vehicle to their education and a career, when knowing fully well they could be so seriously, you know, traumatized and damaged.
Right, and injured. Yeah. So, you know, it's really, the statistics are frightening.
Right.
It, you know, when I look at the statistics from, say, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, it says that young people, children and teens, are more likely to get a traumatic brain injury, including concussions, right?
Really?
And let me just give you some statistics. So it says that in the ER each year, an estimated 173,000 sports and recreation TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, are reported. And it's reported from birth to 19 years for children and adults, right? So it covers up to 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's increased by about 60% over the last 10 years. So the incidence of traumatic brain injury, which I guess makes sense because you probably see more children now being involved in sports, would you say?
Probably so, but also I think it's just probably better reporting.
Right.
You know, and better diagnostic tools.
Awareness, more and more awareness.
Yeah, I think that's part of it as well. Yeah.
So children get injured from bicycling, football, playground activities, basketball, and soccer.
Right. Right.
It says that TBI represents almost 9% of all injuries reported in the 9 sports that we just kind of...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And when you think, you know, in the past, in just the average sport, you would think about, you know, and those are still real, you know, the joint issues, the ankle, the knee, the foot, the shoulder, you know, whatever else, not to mention the potential paralysis from football and the contact sports. Now you're talking about something even, I mean, just as dramatic.
Can I just say this as well, which I think is fabulous, fascinating. Mm. But the number and rates, it says, in football, is 0.47 per 1,000 athlete exposures, right? That's for football. But for girls soccer, it's 0.36.
Really?
That's really high.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the National Survey of All Sports and Recreation-Related Injuries indicate that 31% occur in sports facilities and 20% in school facilities. That's a high incidence. Really high.
I never saw, I mean, having played soccer myself, I never really saw soccer as having the idea of having such a high incidence of...
And bicycling is a big one.
Well, I think, you know, one might then start saying, well, maybe it's, I think it's the reporting process and the criteria and the testing, and therefore now it's becoming almost, you're hypersensitized towards these things. I mean, I look, for example, I'm a big NFL fan, and whenever a game is played and someone is hit and so on, now they have to go on the sideline and they have to be checked out for possible, you know, for concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not cleared, they are taken off the field for the rest of the day, and they're not cleared again to play. They have to be cleared of all concussion symptoms before the next game, or else they'll have to miss the next game. So I would think back and say, you know what, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, forget it. That person, even if that person came out, you know, he just, you'd hear the term all the time, oh, he just had his bell rung, and he comes back in the game, or he plays next week, and he plays the following week. You know, so many people have, it was seen as part of the game. No, I might make the argument that says, now that the NFL was sued by players, and they settled the lawsuit, it is part and parcel in terms of why there is even more awareness around the idea of concussion, specifically in football. I know a lot, I mean, my friend, he didn't allow his son to play football because he did not want him to. I don't think he looked at it as him having a concussion. He looked at it as a contact, fierce, violent sport, you know. And I'm sure a lot of parents are now rethinking or have rethought the idea of, say, more so football than others. But as you just said, soccer is, you know, with girls is also an issue out there.
Right. Yeah. So it says nearly 9 million children aged 0 to 9 are seen in every year in emergency room for injuries, and more than 9,000 children die each year.
Really?
From being, as a result of being injured.
Sports injury. Oh, wow. Ah, I never saw that coming. I mean, you see a lot of injuries, especially ankles and joints and wrists and so on. Basketball, you see a lot of hands and fingers. But never thought that many children. Wow. So how does that then play out in a family of kids who are talented or would like to play sports?
I mean,
or have an affinity for such a thing.
I mean, right. So I think with the greater awareness have come different things in terms of becoming more safe. Now the child has to be cleared, I think, by, you know, they have to be cleared medically. They have to sit out, you know, longer periods, you know, lots of additional testing.
Right.
I mean, there was a famous quarterback recently.
Brett Favre.
Who said he wouldn't allow his, right?
Brett Favre, yeah.
Yeah, his children to.
Because he's suffering from symptoms.
Right, and how much he's missing out on his life from the injuries that he sustained.
Right. And I've personally heard NFL players who you happen to know as well talk about, you know, just headaches that they have or just having had MRIs for different things and realize that the age of their brain is not consistent with their chronological age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but that being said, you know, the fact that there's more testing in place and better diagnosis and so on, how does that then give you pause or, you know, allow you to breathe and exhale and say, you know what, okay, because there's better testing and because if my child suffer these symptoms, they will take the necessary precautions by keeping him or her out for an extended period of time. Does that make it permissible? Does that allow parents to say, all right, sports, it's a part of sports, and they're going to take the necessary precautions? Or you think more and more children will forego the idea of pursuing contact sports?
I think that it's going to probably be a combination of things, because I know that in our school district that they had to have, and now the Board of Education is requiring, not the Board of Education, the Department of Education, requiring that schools have a concussion policy,
right?
And it has to be a policy that's strictly followed and monitored by a medical professional.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's about education, which is one of the things that we're doing with this discussion. It's about educating people that they need to be aware that this, you know, this is a real threat.
Right.
And parents need to take more responsibility for the health and well-being of their children. So, you know, looking at what the policy says, and if your child gets a head injury, to make sure that you're following up vigorously with their medical provider.
And sometimes it can be a tough call at times. You know, you have a talented child and doing well and excelling and having dreams of, you know, all of the above. The potential is, you know, is endless. and given this society and this country especially, athletes can really reap great benefits. And if you have that, you know, sparkle in your eye and that talent, at times it can be tough. I mean, you're 16, 17 years old with that gift to say, well, you know, we need, what is it that we need to be aware of? At that age, kids don't think they're going to get hurt. You know, it's as if they can always brush it off, and it's always, you know, see, you don't realize the impact right away. And it's years later that these guys suffer from these things. Granted, they got paid millions in the NFL when they played, but then in the end, they didn't know, some of them didn't know their names.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's why I think the education needs to start much earlier. Kind of like, you know, you don't want to get to the NFL and not have full knowledge about what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
So that whenever you're signing anything, you know exactly what you're signing, because you might be signing literally your life away.
You know, so the school system educate the parents who have their children participating?
No, but the schools are required to have a concussion policy. But I don't know how much time is actually spent educating parents and students on this really, really important issue.
Because it sounds reactionary. Okay, if John gets hit in the head and has these symptoms, these are the things that we will follow, and these are the steps, and we'll ask him what day it is and what month and what his date of birth is and so on and so forth. And if he doesn't pass these things, and therefore we get him off to the ER and he has a CAT scan done and so on. But the precautionary things ahead of time that says, Mrs. Jones, these are the things that are potentially, you know, this is the concussion policy in place for all athletes so that they know ahead of time and they are educated, as you said, and being able to ask questions.
Right.
And I think that should be available.
Right. I think that's the primary thing is that for parents who are getting their children involved in sports, they really need to know that there is a effective concussion policy and that it's being adhered to. So not just that there's a policy, but that it's being followed.
Right.
And that you need to be aware of when, because it might not look like a concussion to you, right?
Right.
Because your eye is not the trained eye, and you can't look at somebody and say, oh, you look like you've had a concussion.
Right.
So I think you have to be, if there are any kinds of injury to the head, that you want to be able to follow through on that and make sure that you're taking all the safety steps, right? You know, when I think about Matthew, for example, my godson.
Right.
I mean, and he's such a naturally gifted athlete.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, just wanting to make sure that if anything like that happened, I know his mother would be all over it, you know. But when you think about all these children who just love to play sports,
right.
You know, so you want to kind of educate them from early on that this is a risk involved in the sport, and that your parents need to know when you take a tumble, right? Because you might think it's just a tumble, but it may be a little more than that.
You think that could lead to? I don't want to trivialize it, but does that soften the sport? Does that take away from, you know, the talent being, no, you're playing guarded, you're playing...
Right, because they have the heads up, right? The NFL now has the heads up.
Right, and, you know, but I'm just thinking about children, you know, and granted, in the NFL, you get penalized and you cost your money and you get suspended or you get taken out of the game and so
on. Don't they, because now they have the flag football, right, where you don't tackle, you pull the string.
Yeah, you're both, right? You'll have that, right. Mm. But doesn't it, you know, again, you mentioned Matthew. You know, girls more likely would get these. I think I saw a piece on that with girls, and it came from headbutting the ball.
Oh, for soccer.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, but we all did that. We all did that when we played.
But you see.
You know, and therefore, how do we now look at it and say, well, wow. All right, so we weren't testing for that then. Yes, granted, there are occasional times you go up to headbutt a ball in soccer and you're clashing with someone else's head. And I've done that.
But you know what? But you don't know if you had a concussion.
That might be, explain a few things. I agree. But
how many times did that happen? And part of it, too, is that some of these children have multiple injuries.
I agree. But, you know, there's also the fear that you kind of add so many rules and so many safeguarding and, you know, so many padding and so many this that it takes away from what was intended in the game. you know, you modify the game around trying to be safe.
Okay, so...
And I think maybe there's a place, maybe there's a happy medium, I'm not sure.
Maybe there is a happy medium, right? But I don't know if it... I think that one of the primary focus of any sport is to be safe. You don't want to play a sport if it means you're going to potentially die.
No, I would think not.
So it has to be that you're having fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not gonna cost me my life.
You know what? I think. Well, again, I don't play the games. I've seen the commercials on TV, and I've heard folks talk about them. When you watch some of these video games, and you hear people talk about, you know, whatever they have on their PlayStations or whatever, these things are violent. These things are rough. And I listen, you know, when football players talk or when the commentators talk, when you watch, it is that, you know, it's the clash, it's the violence, it's the impact, you know, that some of them seem like a threat or an extension of a game, or because these games are so, there's so much violence, there's so much contact that I wonder how much of that they bring into a game.
I don't know, though. I mean, there may be people like that, right?
Mm.
But I don't know if generally speaking.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know if...
I see it in the NFL, and I just feel it.
Well, one of the things that I think is really... it's not surprising to me because I'm, you know, I kind of try to keep up on the reading on this, but it's the link between traumatic brain injury and suicide. And so many of our military warriors have suffered traumatic brain injury in combat and then commit suicide. And the same thing that happens to professional athletes who suffered traumatic brain injury. And there was a recent study that says that it may not be a coincidence that's happening, that, you know, there's a link between the traumatic brain injury and the
suicide.
You know?
It's been talked about in the NFL. I mean, before it was one here, one there. Now it's, you know, it's quite often. And, you know, the biggest name that I know of, which was Junior Seau, who played for like 15 or whatever years, he was fierce. He threw his body around. He played hard. He was known as a hard hitter. You know, it was his thing. And at 43 or whatever years old, he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's such a delicate thing because it is a sport, be it football, be it soccer, be it baseball, you know, all these sports, they are wonderful, they're beautiful, and they're also, you know, career, there's a career in them, and there are opportunities and so on. But at the same time, we're becoming more and more aware of how life-changing it can be above and beyond what we already thought, you know, where, yes, you can have your knee broken, you can tear a ligament, you know, again, you can have surgery
and so on. Yeah.
But, you know, and therefore, those were risks that people were willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you play basketball, you can twist your ankle, you can break your foot, you can tear ligaments and so on. However, I mean, the greatest injury that they always talked about in football really was, you know, a spinal injury. You know, and they took precautions over the years. But now, with this, wow, it's like wildfire, because as you said, you don't always know, you know, and the same trauma that causes a concussion in one might not cause a concussion in another, and vice versa. So it is. I can see where families of athletes, aspiring athletes, or any child, but more so aspiring athletes and talented folks who really want to pursue this at its highest level, wrestling with the idea of having to make a choice, you know, in terms of what's best for my child, and that child having a difficult time understanding the precautionary things that the parents are trying to put in place, as parents themselves need to become more educated in terms of what's really happening and, you know, what does it mean, this whole concussion thing, and what are the steps that need to be taken to prevent their own child from suffering such a fate?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that there are things happening that is making it safer. So the NFL, I think, is a leading voice on this issue, right?
Right.
So they're into research to figuring out how to make the game safer,
right,
and how to protect the brain.
Right.
And so, you know, and it's really developing this awareness. So I think that the NFL is probably, you know, the NFL indirectly is responsible for us even having this conversation, because we are so much more aware of TBIs right now,
right,
than we ever have been, right?
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think that the takeaways are, you know, like we said before, that parents have to be active participants.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be in it, you know, for the safety of their children, and really make sure that the school district or the, you know, has a really clear policy on concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of like ask the really tough question.
Right.
Make sure that the
right.
policies are being followed, you mm-hmm. know.
And take the emotion out of it in
right.
terms of, you know, my child loves the sport, they're talented, they're great, they're wonderful, they want to go places with this, they want to go to college, and they want to hope to one day become a professional athlete. All well and good. However, you need to guard against them being, you know, traumatized by this.
Right. We want to make sure that your children have the right equipment,
right.
you know, that you know what concussion looks like, what that means,
right.
And that you're really following up and following through.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, and this is what I said, that it's about safety. It's always about safety.
Oh, you're such a mother. You know, you want to protect your child, and yes, but you still want, brush it off. It's no big deal. It's just hurt a little. Some of it might be true, but do you really want to be that one time when it just had such a significant impact that it totally and absolutely changed his or her life?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not asking any parent to wrap their child in a bubble and send them off and have them overly protected and be extreme in their thinking. Allow your child to play sports. But probably more anything that you said, Dila, is educate yourself in terms of about concussions, about brain injury, you know, while your child playing sports, because it is very, very, very real, and it's life-changing.
Right,
it is life-changing.
So USA Football have, I think, five safety checklist items that I wanted to leave, you know, as our takeaway. So it says, ask if your player's coach has completed a comprehensive football coaching education course this year, and make sure that, you know, you kind of verify that. Recognize the symptoms of, the signs and symptoms of a concussion.
90 seconds.
Know how to regularly check for the fit of a helmet. Make sure your player's coach is teaching the heads-up tackling, and ask if your league has conducted background checks on all the adult volunteers. So I think, you know, it's about safety. So,
yeah,
you know, but I think it's a really important discussion, because, after all, we want our young people to be healthy and alive so that they can develop into their best selves. So until next time.
60 seconds.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.